Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, TikTok and its potential malign influence is in the spotlight. Lawmakers fearing a communist Chinese Trojan horse. More on a just passed House bill that could see it banned. The Chinese ambassador facing heavy criticism from Harvard students during a speech at the institution. Protesters heard accusing Beijing of multiple human rights violations across various regions and groups in China and nearby.
Since the founding of the People's Republic of China.
Free Tibet! Free Tibet! How can you be here when the Chinese government is in direct contravention of every human rights law in the world?
A major drug bust in Maine. A man born in China is accused of transforming a house into a high-tech marijuana grow. And five individuals arrested in Germany and the UK charged as spies for China. Police say they were found stealing technology and intelligence for the Chinese Communist Party. TikTok's future hanging in the balance. The House passed a bill that would force the app to either divest from its Chinese owner or face a ban in the U.S. A similar bill stalled in the Senate last month, but this time the ban is more likely to go through. NTD's Daniel Monahan has the details.
TikTok is owned by Chinese parent company ByteDance. The bill passed Saturday would give the social media company 270 days to find a new owner. Lawmakers fear TikTok could be deployed as a tool of the Chinese Communist Party, which could force the company to turn over user data. Another concern is that the CCP could use the company as a Trojan horse, boosting TikTok content favorable to its interests. Senator Mark Warner said that 170 million Americans use TikTok a day, with many young people getting their news there. Speaking on CBS,
the idea that we would give the Communist Party this much of a propaganda tool, as well as the ability to scrape 170 million Americans' personal data.
House Republicans attached the TikTok bill to funding for Ukrainian military equipment and Israeli missile defense. That puts the pressure on Senate lawmakers to consider the whole package in a single up or down vote. Policy analysts expect the Senate to take up the aid package quickly, giving it high odds of passage. President Biden has previously said he would sign the TikTok legislation if it reached his desk. TikTok has vocally opposed the bill, for weeks waging an intense lobbying campaign to defeat the legislation. It argues it violates users' First Amendment rights. The social media company has spent $5 million on TV ads opposing the bill since mid-March and is threatening to go to court if it passes. TikTok has encouraged its users to contact Congress, and some lawmakers have received profanity-laced calls. California Representative Ro Khanna, a Democrat, voted against the legislation. He said he thinks there could have been less restrictive ways to go after the company that wouldn't result in a total ban. Daniel Monahan, NTD News.
A $95 billion foreign aid package passed the House Saturday. 8% of that money would go toward countering China, while the rest is marked for Ukraine and Israel. The Senate is expected to pass it as soon as Tuesday. President Biden has promised to sign the bill. Ukraine would get the lion's share, $60 billion, to help fight Russia.
We appreciate every manifestation of support for our state and independence, our people, and our lives, which Russia wants to bury in ruins. America has shown its leadership from the first days of this war.
Israel comes in second, getting over $26 billion. The package comes after Iran fired hundreds of rockets and drones at Israel. Over $8 billion would focus on safeguarding the Indo-Pacific region against the Chinese regime's rising threat. The money would help the U.S. develop submarines, support Taiwan's defenses, and bolster U.S. military capabilities in the region. Taiwan is under increasing pressure of a potential Chinese invasion. Beijing sent 14 warplanes near the island over the weekend. Taipei said it would discuss with Washington how best to use the funding. The Chinese regime sees Taiwan as part of China, despite never having ruled it. Besides the money, the massive foreign aid package would impose sanctions on Iran, China, and Russia. It would also force social media app TikTok to separate from its Chinese parent company or get banned from U.S. app stores. Plus, the package cracks down on fentanyl trafficking. House Speaker Mike Johnson's job is at risk for advancing this aid package. Some GOP lawmakers are not happy about him giving more aid to Ukraine. Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene threatened on Sunday to oust Johnson if he doesn't resign. She's got enough votes to get rid of Johnson if Democrats don't come to his aid. For a deeper discussion on the renewed House bill on TikTok and the passage of a key foreign aid package, we sat down with General David Stilwell. He's the former Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of East Asian and Pacific Affairs. General Stilwell, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Always a pleasure.
Now, the House has voted to approve $95 billion in foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific. There was another bill, a national security bill, that would force TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell. Now, what do you make of this combining, if you will, of foreign aid plus the TikTok bill?
The great thing about our system and about our Congress is that it's deliberate. It's slow. We don't make any, like, sudden move, which is as painful as it can be with things like TikTok, it really is the right answer. It doesn't have to happen right away. We need to approach it in a very thoughtful way. We're not wanting to kill TikTok. You in the U.S. who like it, you can use it. We're just going to get the nefarious hand of the Chinese Communist Party out of our open media system.
On the flip side, right, Forbes is noting it is unlikely TikTok or the Chinese regime would agree to selling it. There's also talks of legal challenges. What do you make of all of that? Where do you see this going?
They're using our Twitter to tell American people that you need to call your representatives and tell them that if, and they're giving them the script to it, saying, if you ban TikTok, I will commit suicide. I mean, these are well-planned. They definitely understand our system well, and they're using our system against us. Meanwhile, we're doing not a thing in reverse. The disparity between how much access they have at our system, how much they abuse it, and how little access we have defines information warfare. You were talking about Carrie Gershenik's book, Political Warfare. That's exactly what they're doing. They're taking, this is full advantage. This is, they have unfettered advantage here, and they're taking, they're using it smartly. The solution is also simple, as we stop allowing them direct access to our system. It's not censorship, it's defense.
Why does the Chinese regime or ByteDance not want to sell TikTok? What is it giving the Chinese regime?
It gives them direct access to American people. Remember, their goal isn't to support one party or the other in an electoral year. This is going to be a very tense year already. They don't care. All they care about is the anger and the friction that it creates. Why would we put up with that? We already have those. We have Facebook. We have those that haven't weaponized it.
General Stilwell, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We'll see you.
Protests against the Chinese Communist Party broke out at Harvard University over the weekend. It happened when the Chinese ambassador to the U.S. was invited to give a speech at the Institute in Boston. He was interrupted at least three times by student protesters during the speech. Watch.
Dean, Professor Edison. You've come to paint the illusion of a prosperous China, but your hands are painted with blood.
The speaker on the stage is Chinese Ambassador Xie Feng. He was invited to give a speech at the opening ceremony of the Kennedy School's China Conference. Some of the Saturday protesters were Harvard students.
Chinese government is in direct contravention of every human rights law in the world. You are a representative of a government that advocates for genocide.
The banners they held read, China lies, people die. They continued the demonstration even after being removed from the event.
We just got kicked out of our own university. Right now, Xie Feng, the Chinese ambassador to the United States, is inside giving a propaganda speech. We Harvard students went in to tell him that we will not give him this undeserved platform. Xie Feng is spinning bloody, bloody lies touting the good China story. Well, this is the real China story. China lies, people die! China lies, people die!
Zooming in on the situation, video shows a student being forcibly removed from the auditorium. The female protester in the video, Cassette Wu, is an American-born Taiwanese student. The man dragging her out of the hall was found to be a Chinese student named Zhou Hongji. He's studying for a master's degree at Harvard and is a lead member of the university's Chinese Students and Scholars Association. According to the State Department, the body was created by the Chinese Communist Party. Designed to, quote, monitor students and mobilize them against views that dissent from the party stance. That's on top of spreading pro-Beijing propaganda. Media reports also revealed Zhou's parents have close ties to the regime. His father reportedly serves as a province-level official in China. Back to the Harvard protests. Outside, protesters called on the school not to spread Chinese propaganda. The demonstration focused on human rights violations in Tibet, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Xinjiang, known to its native Uyghur population as East Turkestan.
We are here to protest about the conditions in China, the way they treat people, the persecution of so many different groups, the Falun Gong, the Uyghurs, the Tibetans, and underground Christians. We like to protest wherever you go, so this time he's in Boston, so we're here.
So far, protesters have not faced backlash from the university. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is heading to China this week. It will be his second visit to Beijing as America's top diplomat. He went to China last year to stabilize relations after tensions rose when the U.S. military shot down a Chinese spy balloon. The aircraft had been detected over U.S. military sites. A State Department official says Blinken will meet with senior Chinese officials in both Shanghai and Beijing during his two-day visit that begins on Wednesday. The trip comes as the wars in Gaza and Ukraine continue, and North Korea remains a threat in the region. The United States is especially concerned about Beijing's support for Russia during its ongoing conflict with Kyiv. The future of Taiwan is also expected to be a topic of conversation. The U.S. out-innovated China. That's according to U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo on Sunday. She says the microchip that powers Huawei's latest smartphone isn't as advanced as its American-made counterparts, meaning the U.S.'s effort to stop sending American technology to China is working. Washington has active sanctions on the Chinese telecom giant. Here's more.
They were the subject of patriotic acclaim in China. But Washington says the Chinese chips in Huawei's latest phones are actually evidence that its curbs on supplies to the country are working. The Mate 60 handset debuted last year, powered by an advanced, locally made chip. Last week, the phone maker unveiled new models thought to use an upgraded version of the silicon. The chips are reportedly made by China's Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp. In Beijing, that's been cast as evidence of the country's ability to overcome restrictions on the supply of advanced semiconductors. Over the weekend, U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said the reverse was true. Speaking to CBS, she said the Chinese chips were nowhere near as advanced as the latest U.S. models, and hence proof that the supply curbs are working. Huawei has been on a Washington blacklist for years. That's over allegations that it could help spy on Americans, charges the firm strongly denies. Restrictions have also been imposed on Chinese semiconductor manufacturers. The Biden administration says it continues to evaluate whether Huawei's new chips have violated export rules.
A major marijuana bust in Maine is the latest example of what authorities are calling a new trend. The DEA is looking into criminal groups from different countries growing illegal marijuana in around 20 states, including Maine. In a high-profile incident, authorities arrested a man born in China. He's accused of transforming a house into a high-tech grow operation. Police arrested Zishen Guo and seized 40 pounds of marijuana in February. Police zeroed in on the operation in part because of the home's utility bills. After the home was purchased, electricity use went from around $300 a month to nearly $9,000. That's consistent with heat pumps, lighting, and other gear needed to grow marijuana. The legality of marijuana cultivation in states like Maine tends to provide cover for illegal grow operations. The marijuana is then trafficked in states where it is illegal. On Friday, Guo was ordered to be held without bail on federal drug charges. A detention hearing is scheduled for Monday. Five people allegedly spying for the Chinese communist regime have been uncovered in Europe. On Monday, both Germany and the UK reported their investigations, accusing the suspects of breaching government secrets and intellectual property, which could aid the Chinese military.
The three arrests for suspected espionage for a Chinese intelligence service are a great success for our counterintelligence, our security authorities. We are aware of the considerable danger posed by Chinese espionage in business, industry, and science. We are keeping a very close eye on these risks.
On Monday, German authorities arrested three people suspected of spying for China. They're accused of stealing information on technology with potential military use. One of the suspects was allegedly an agent for an employee of China's Ministry of State Security. He's accused of procuring information in Germany on military technology for that person. To do that, he allegedly used a couple who own a company that works with German researchers. The same day, police in the UK reported that they also caught two men spying for China. One of them has been working as a researcher under a UK lawmaker from the governing Conservative Party. They were charged with providing prejudicial information to China, which violated the country's Official Secrets Act. And the court date for both is set on this Friday. China hasn't commented on either set of charges. Coming up, heavy rainstorms kill at least four people in southern China, with a bridge collapsing into the river below after the powerful downpour. Emails allegedly revealing the FBI was tipped off about potential coronavirus manipulation. It's linked to U.S. funding for Chinese research. And thousands gather in one of the globe's largest Chinese communities outside China to march against the communist regime's persecution of faith. The event marking the 25th anniversary of a peaceful appeal in Beijing. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. At least four people were killed in southern China's Guangdong province as severe floods swamped cities after record-breaking rain. The province, once dubbed the world's factory, is prone to summer floods. Locals say they are worried about the floods coming earlier than usual in recent years.
In the past, the floods rarely rose to this point. At least the floods got drained.
Footage from a security camera showed a bridge collapsing into the river below on Saturday. Heavy rain also struck major local rivers, waterways, and reservoirs on Sunday, triggering floods and a landslide. Chinese state media reported that four people died in two separate cities in Guangdong province. It didn't say when or how they died. The two cities are among the worst hit areas of sustained torrential rains that began late last week. A search is underway for 10 others who are missing. By Monday, about 110,000 people have been evacuated across the province. Some 26,000 people were in emergency shelters. The major city of Guangzhou logged a cumulative rainfall of 24 inches in April, the highest since record-keeping began. China's weather authorities extended a rainstorm warning through Tuesday evening. Newly disclosed emails say experiments in China could manipulate coronaviruses without leaving a trace. What's more, that research received U.S. government funding. The details were outlined on a webpage for a grant funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. It's the same agency that was headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci until late 2022. In one of the uncovered emails, an unknown person told the FBI that changing the viruses would leave no signatures of purposeful human manipulation. The emails were obtained by the nonprofit organization Judicial Watch through a Freedom of Information Act request. Here's what the president of Judicial Watch said, quote, "These smoking gun documents showed the FBI quickly understood that Fauci's agency funded the gain-of-function research that could disguise the resulting coronaviruses as natural." The FBI declined to comment. The U.S. intelligence community as a whole is divided on the matter. At least one other agency is also assessing a lab origin as likely for COVID-19, while others are undecided or lean toward the natural origin theory. China has largely blocked investigations into the origins of COVID-19 and declined to make information from the lab public. This Thursday, April 25th, will commemorate a peaceful petition in Beijing. 25 years ago, people of faith gathered to protest the Chinese regime's persecution of the spiritual meditation practice Falun Gong. This week, thousands of Falun Gong practitioners attended a parade and rally in New York to commemorate the event.
Music and cheers were heard in Flushing, New York on Sunday. It's the largest Chinese community in the U.S.
Very good. This is my first experience to observe this.
I think it's lovely, but we're definitely enjoying it.
Thousands of Falun Dafa practitioners gathered to raise awareness of the current persecution of the spiritual group. Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, is a self-improvement discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Originating in mainland China in 1992, it gained 70 to 100 million followers before facing persecution by former Chinese regime leader Jiang Zemin in 1999. The April 21st rally marked the 25th anniversary of a peaceful appeal in Beijing. It took place months before the communist regime's widespread persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners, which has resulted in thousands of deaths. 25 years later, rallies are held around the world to commemorate the date. Here in New York City, over a dozen speakers attended the rally. Volunteers with the Tuidong movement also attended. That's a grassroots movement among the Chinese community. It allows them to separate themselves from the Chinese regime by withdrawing from its affiliated organizations. Activists and freedom advocates voice their support for the movement.
We have many, many families in crisis. We need to stop the persecution. The persecution needs to stop now.
Over the past 25 years, Falun Gong practitioners have explained the truth of the persecution to the Chinese public. Their efforts have led to over 420 million people quitting the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliated youth groups. NTD News, New York.
That's all for today's China In Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.